This is Steve Heitzer, and you're listening to The Curious Wire.
It's good to have you, Steve. It's nice to meet you. We could see each other. I want to hear what's going on in the market from your perspective. So your company specializes in commercial equipment, gyms, specifically for multifamily. So tell us a little bit of, this is not a sale pitch, but, you know, where are you based? Where are you doing work? And then we'll get into what you're seeing.
Absolutely. So, you know, our main office, our headquarters is located here in Middle River, Maryland. We've been in the business for about 25 years, providing, you know, service and sales solutions, more so sales in the last, you know, five of those 25 years or so. But really, you know, what it is that we do, we work with multifamily operators, owners, site teams, developers, really anybody across that multifamily spectrum in trying to provide, you know, high quality resources, specifically in, you know, creating and operating, you know, multifamily fitness amenities.
And what region are you servicing?
Yeah, so the primary region that we service is the DMV area. So that would be like the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. We also, certain accounts take us into parts of Pennsylvania. I would say we go about down to as far as about Richmond, Virginia, is about as far south as we go. And every so often we get dragged about as far north as New Jersey.
Okay, so Sage has worked with you. You did the gym for us in our new Grand Up lease up in Aberdeen, Fieldside Grand. What makes a good gym versus what makes a not so good gym?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, and that's part of the reason why we really decided to lean into that multifamily aspect of what we do, because we understand that there's certain nuances to the multifamily space that are different than if I'm just operating a club, you know, or I'm opening up a, you know, a health facility that I'm going to have dues paying members, right? So, you know, you all have various different concerns. Your gym has to be not only appealing and usable, obviously, for the people that live in your community, but it also has to be marketable, right? Has to be something that can help you create a moment when you bring a resident in on a tour. They can be able to see themselves using that space. So really, to answer your question, what creates a good multifamily fitness space is a combination of creating a little bit of something for everyone, but also leaning into what's popular so that you all can market that. And when I say what's popular, I mean not...
What's popular right now.
Yeah, not what just is the current trend that's going to be around right now. But, you know, what I mean by that is what's going to really help you to activate the community and engage the residents, right? So right now, what we've seen is, particularly since COVID, there's been a shift in terms of what people want to see in the gym, where you used to want to see a bunch of cardio equipment all lined up down the windows, all on both sides, sometimes even in the middle of the room, and then just a few strength training options. Now, people really want to see a variety of options to build strength, to build endurance, you know, and things like that. So we've really had to get creative with, you know, providing enough cardio solutions for the people that want it, but also providing that new level of strength training that people want to see.
Interesting, you're seeing that shift. Is that demand, is that come from residents or is that coming from developers?
I think it's definitely residents. You know, there's in the years past, you would go into a gym and you would see three or four or five treadmills all in use at one time. But I think it speaks now to the way people just use health spaces in general. People want to move through those spaces more quickly than they did in the past. I mean, people have less time. You still have those, you know, they used to call them gym rats that would go and spend hours a day in the gym. But the average person, young professionals that are just working and trying to get, you know, through the day while staying healthy, they want to give a 30, 45 minute window to their workout. So people don't want to spend 35, 45 minutes running on the treadmill as frequently as they maybe would have wanted to in the past. They want to be able to go in and move through several different, you know, modalities. HIIT training has become popular, you know, using, you know, high interval, you know, to get your cardio in a shorter span of time. So, yeah, I think it's really, you know, resident driven.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have, I don't know if that has anything to do with COVID or it's just a timing thing that this is just more of a trend that people are focused more on strength. So I get you're focused, on a lot of development projects. So do you often get involved in the time, like before they even have the plans for building? Or do the clients usually come to you and say, okay, this is the space we have for the gym, now help us design a gym?
a little bit of both. And honestly, I like the earlier I can get involved, the better, because certain people, you know, when they go through that development process, some people really love windows, some people really love walls and things, you know, and it's like when you're creating the gym spaces, you need a certain amount of both. You know, you need some walls, you need some sight lines and things. So if I can get involved as early as possible, I have projects right now that won't be delivering till the end of 2026 that I'm involved in. And I have gotten involved with where maybe windows and mirrors and things are going to go. So in those spaces, the final product is going to be really cohesive. And it's going to really deliver like a high level of functionality because we're going to be working with kind of the framework that we set forth from the beginning with the developer.
What are common mistakes or big mistakes that you see developers make or operators make with their gyms?
I think, you know, low hanging, you know, decorative light fixtures is a really common thing that we see. They may have a 10-foot, you know, ceiling in their gym, but they put a nice decorative light configuration or something that hangs down to like 8-foot right in the middle of the space. And then that'll affect maybe some of the clearances and things like that that we can put. Another one sometimes is leaving some of like, I guess, what you would call like the industrial components or HVAC components, you know, open and down into the ceiling space of the gym. A lot of times, you know, developers will underestimate how low that will come. And then what'll end up happening is we'll be having to make decisions closer to delivery, make adjustments to account for maybe an error return or something that wasn't outlined to us well. So, you know, sometimes we deal with those things. And another common one I would say would just be with the amount of windows in these spaces people want to have, they want to keep them open so that you can see through the space. And when you're going through the communities, you can look in and see into the gym. But then obviously the more windows you have, the more sight lines there are to block and things. So certain equipment benefits from having walls so that we're not obstructing, you know, your windows and, you know, your view lines and things. So I would just say, you know, maybe just getting with a professional like us ahead of time to make sure that you've got the right, you know, distances, lengths of open wall space, as well as sight lines is pretty critical.
Let's go into that a little bit. What the window space, it's window space to outside. That's critical.
It could be both, right? You know, obviously sight lines to outside is great in terms of bringing in natural light, which, you know, makes the space feel bigger, makes the space feel more alive and exciting. We certainly always try to avoid, you know, really dark spaces. But also, if you're going to have like glass walls into an interior part of the building, you know, as maybe you're moving through common areas of the building or clubhouses, a lot of times the instinct is to put windows and things there so that people can see into the gym. But then what ends up happening is, if we don't have areas that we can put equipment in the gym without obstructing those sight lines that people are hoping to create, then afterwards we're kind of saying like, well, which ones do you mind giving up? You know, and it's not always a great conversation that way, because some people have, the designer may have one vision of how they want it to all look, but the back of fitness equipment isn't always super pretty. So, you know, we need kind of a balance there.
Yeah. What would you say if you had to pick one? Is it better to have equipment space or we'll call it studio space where someone is just open for someone to use? Obviously it's ideal to have both, but if you had to pick one, right? If you could only have, you could go all in on one of those, would it be the equipment, or would it be, you know, the studio type of space where you could have like one of these mirrors where you could follow a workout or one of these guided programs?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, but I think the main, you know, having a fully activated fitness amenity with the equipment that users are familiar with and can kind of, you know, a lot of times they can look at machines. I bring out maybe the project we did at Sage, at Fieldside for you all, where there was a combination of cable machines and then some more user-defined things. So, you know, I would say that we would lean into having a well-equipped main gym versus a studio space. Because the average person doesn't know how to be fit, but most people want to be fit. They see these gyms and they say they can really see themselves achieving goals and getting in shape there. And if we, you know, leave an empty space that requires somebody to kind of know their way around fitness, that can be more intimidating to somebody than coming in and having a unit with a nice placard on it that says, this is how you adjust the seat. You know, this is how you adjust the handles. That can be more approachable to a wider audience.
I guess I realized it was a little bit of a softball because you sell equipment, so you would prefer to have a space that has equipment.
But We do different things for different projects, though, obviously, yeah. depending on you know, the scope and the vision. So there's no one size fits all, you know, to what we do.
Do you guys keep track, or is there, like, do you have data about the usage of equipment or the parts of the gym that get more use? Or you referenced that people are asking for more strength training type of stuff. Do you survey residents? Like, how do you collect that information?
Well, sometimes, you know, we obviously speak to our on-site team. So part of what RMS does is we do have before we ever sold any equipment, we were a service company first. So we have an account of about 500 commercial properties that we provide routine maintenance, service, and repairs for. So we get to speak to them. And with the predominance of that being multifamily, most of those property managers and site teams, they're getting requests from their residents. So we know what the people coming on tours and people that are moving out and things, the kind of feedback they're giving the communities about why they're moving in or why they're moving out and things. But another thing that we do is we do market research of our own in terms of what the trends in fitness are, right? So now we know that the online influencers are more into this than that nowadays. Well, eventually that trickles down to the consumer. That trickles down to the people that are using the space. So, you know, we follow that as well. You know, we're not fitness people who just sell equipment. We're fitness enthusiasts that we follow the people that set the trends so that we can be ahead of them and kind of understand, you know, where the markets are going, hopefully before they get there. And, you know, but because of that, we do have some usage data as far as like what we can pull off the machines to see how they're being used. And we also just have, you know, experience that we've acquired over the years in terms of what we know. For instance, if you have three treadmills, I can tell you, for instance, that the one on the left and the one on the right are almost always going to have higher use than the one in the middle. Because if there's somebody on one, you're always going to like leave that gap between you and the next person. So periodically we'll tell somebody to rotate the tires or, you know, swap where the treadmills are located in the room so that people think they're using their favorite machine, but we're balancing the wear out across the units, right? So kind of that combination of research we do and experience that we acquire, you know, leads us to where we're at.
Makes sense. So being a fitness enthusiast, what's your go-to for exercise?
You know, it's funny. I do not like a whole lot of cardio. It's funny. Some people here in the office, they really are into the cardio stuff. I come in the morning. If you follow our company at all, like our podcast and things that we do, you'll know about Emily. She's like a treadmill fiend. You can't come into the office and not find her on the treadmill. But me, I'm more of a strength training guy, even though I am a smaller guy myself. My brother-in-laws are into powerlifting, and they kind of started me down that path a little bit, and I've sort of done my own thing. But when I started doing the powerlifting, I discovered that like a lot of like back pain issues and things you start to deal with when you into your 30s and beyond, they improved a lot for me when I started doing strength training. So I don't know if that's something to our earlier point that other people have realized too, that strength training isn't just about getting big and being bulky, but it also is about like how we move and how we function. And I think as that information has become more available to me, and I've kind of adapted that. And I think the industry has kind of noticed that too.
Well, Steve, as we wrap up here, you've been a great resource, a great supplier. You're very active on LinkedIn. I'm going to speak for you. I'm sure if anybody who's listening is on active, I'm sure you're happy to get on a call if people have questions about, you know, designing their gym, not selling it or anything, but just being a resource for what's what and the how-to for fitness in multifamily. Because if you're building a multi-million dollar property, it's sad if you waste your gym space by a poor design or poor quality. So people can reach out to you on LinkedIn. And thanks for taking the time to talk multifamily fitness with us.
No, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure. Multifamily fitness is kind of our passion, and we're really excited to be able to share that. And yeah, to your point, happy to jump on with a consultation. We don't, you know, charge a consult fee or anything. We just like to help people create awesome spaces. And if you end up buying equipment from us, that's a bonus too. So, you know, we're definitely happy to meet with anybody who has a need, and, you know, happy to be a resource.